JT live in Vegas. From the Las Vegas Strip right to our studios on Flamingo.
Woohoo!
I'm here because I got to put two kids through college.
LeBron.
We ask everybody to participate, from Uber drivers to taxi drivers to bartenders. I mean, I never slow down. I stand up in the studio. I'm excited to be on the radio. I like energetic callers who have opinions. Sound off like you got a pair.
Woohoo!
Oh, I'm cranky Yankee. How do the Yankees lose a game like this? Are you kidding me?
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
We're back, JT, with you till 8 o'clock tonight on a gorgeous hot summer day. Live from Fox Sports Radio's Lotus Studio, brought to you by Golden Entertainment, the owner of PT's, now the owner of the Stratosphere, Arizona Charlie's, the SG Bar, Sierra Gold, all the great, and I mean great, Sean Patrick's throughout the valley. Thanks for checking in here as we open up with the monologue and a really busy show tonight. We're busy because the British Open is underway. We have a big trade in the NBA and some Raider news that I'll get to a little bit. Matter of fact, next Thursday and Friday, I'll be hosting the show live from Napa, Raiders training camp. My 20th season begins with the Silver and Black, and I'll be live from Napa. Really excited about that. Those shows will be fun. We'll have Coach Gruden. We'll have a couple of players on. We'll be excited about that. So we're putting that together as we get rolling today. I got a lot on my mind, and I want to start with the British Open. Jay Coffin will join us live from Carnoustie in Scotland here in a few minutes. We'll get an update on the leaderboard, Tiger Woods' performance. I thought Tiger played well again today. I mean, look, even par is pretty good. We look at the guys who are above Tiger and shot over par. There's a lot of big names out there, but once again, Tiger is trailing significantly after the first round. When you're trailing by four or five shots on the first day, that means you could be trailing by eight or nine shots the second day. And if that happens, that happens with Tiger, he's not going to win any tournaments. He's not going to win any majors. He's got to be on the leaderboard. And today, Tiger Woods was two under par for most of the day. Had a couple of hiccup bogeys, pulled it together down the stretch, and I think he gets out of there with the 71, even par, and everybody's calm and cool with that. But it could have been lower. It could have been, I think, three under today, four under, and it would have been incredible to see that. Jay Coffin, great friend of the show from Golf Channel, golfchannel.com. The editor joins us from Carnoustie. And Jay, I was just saying, I thought Tiger, who was two under for most of the day, it would have been nice if he ended up two under or three under. I think we'd have a different storyline tonight.
Yeah, I think so too. But you know what? It kind of, I walked just about every hole out there, and it got really difficult quick at the end of the day. Just got just a tad bit more breezy, just a little bit chillier. And as those greens were growing, they got a little bit slower. So you kind of put all that mix in there. Only two people in the last 15 groups were under par this afternoon. So, you know what? Yes, it should have been under par, but even par in the first round of a major is never a bad thing.
I want to ask you about that. You were all over the course today. When guys are putting away their driver and they're hitting three wood or an iron, still they have to worry about those bunkers in the middle of the fairway, the burn. What is that like when someone's trying to dial in yardage and they're not using a driver and they're playing down to an iron?
Exactly. It's, you know, guys have been talking about this all week, where you've got the two different kind of theories. You've got the bomb and gouge guys, even like John Rahm and Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy, who kind of say, look, we're going to bomb it down there, and it's going to end up where it's going to end up, and we're going to figure it out. And then you've got other guys, plotters, more like Jordan Spieth, and even how Tiger played today, hitting the irons off the tee. We have to get it in the fairway. I'm okay with being further back as long as I get it in the fairway. So it's just a different ball game this week. And it's also weird too, JT. There are some holes where you can carry one bunker at 240. So if you carry that bunker, then there's another bunker that's down there at 300. Well, balls are rolling out 100 yards. So how can you carry the first bunker and keep it from rolling in a second bunker? I mean, it's nuts out there. And really a ton of strategy is going to come into play over these next 3 days.
You nailed it, because that's what blew me away today, is you can carry a bunker, and then because of how dry it is, it rolls out. And let's get that out of the way the course looks. You've covered a lot of Open Championships, and a lot of the times it looks burnt out. And today, it reminded me, you know, when we were up there at Chambers Bay looks like a rainforest compared to what this looked like today. How dry is it in those fairways? And the extra roll is really cool, because you could leave it 15, 20 yards short of the green and get that link-style roll right up there to the pin.
Yeah, I agree. It is pretty cool. Look, this is my 10th in a row of these over here. And I was actually in St. Andrews, not so humble brag, 6 weeks ago on some meetings and playing a little bit of golf. And they tell me that it has not rained a drop since I was here 6 weeks ago. So I'm telling you, it's... You know, to Americans back home, look at it and see this brown golf course that frankly, I mean, it doesn't look pretty on TV, but man, I'm telling you, it's awesome. This is the way the game was created. This is where it was invented in this country. This is how it's supposed to be played. It's supposed to be played in the elements. It's supposed to be played on the ground. It's supposed to be played fighting bunkers and fighting wind and fighting rain, and we're getting all of that in 4 days here in Scotland.
How great is it that we could talk to Jay Coffin live from Carnoustie, British Open, the Open Championship first round. Let's take a look at the leaderboard and tell me about the American Kevin Kisner. For our listeners who don't know about his backstory, he's 5 under today. He has the low round of 66. Why should we believe he could be there on Sunday?
He's just a good old Georgia boy that just doesn't care and is not going to overthink it. I'm not suggesting he's going to be there. But you may recall he had a chance to win the PGA Championship last year that Justin Thomas ended up winning. So he's a guy that's kind of putting himself in contention a little more often, has not really played in many of these and hasn't really played well. So, again, I'm not sure he's going to stay up there, but is a short knocker, sort of keeps a lot of the trouble out of play and can really sort of plot his way around the golf course and, frankly, not give a damn. He's just a good old Southern boy that likes to have a good time and hit it, go find it, and hit it again.
I love Ryan Moore. We know him very well in Vegas. He shot 3 under, a 68. That's a really nice score there. Brendan Steele, also 3 under par. Danny Willett, who's won a major, comes up nicely with 2 under par. And then I want to ask you about John Rahm at 2 under. I really believe he has the game to win anywhere around the world. How did Rahm look today? Did he overpower the course?
Yeah, in spots. He was pretty good, too, aggressive in spots. And he played a little bit earlier, too, before the wind picked up. And I think that was to his advantage. And he said early in the week, look, I'm just going to hit it. He's a guy who's sort of a go-for-broke and also can have a temper, too. That's what we're going to see, too, is, like, if he gets in sort of some of those bigger pop, if he bombs it down there and gets screwed by getting a bad roll or something, how is his temper? How is he going to be able to overcome that bad 4, 5, 6-hole stretch that everybody's going to find this week? That's the thing with him. He has the game, as you mentioned, can win anywhere. I think he can win any major. He can win anywhere around the world. This kid's going to be here for a long time. He's also going to be dropping a bunch of putts on the U.S. For Europe in the Ryder Cup come September. So guys like him and Rory and Justin Thomas are guys that are all right there at 2 under, just kind of lurking a few short shots back. Just some big, big names right in that little group at 2 under.
Yeah, Jay Coffin's our guest, editor at golfchannel.com, great friend of the show, joins us from all the big majors. We appreciate that. A couple other names. First off, Dustin Johnson, another guy who blew it by everybody today but was in trouble all day long. Did he play himself out of the tournament on Thursday?
I think he was pretty close. He tripled that last hole, including hit it in the burn and ended up making it, missing a 4-footer for double. A guy like that that's so good, you don't ever want to think he shot himself out of it right there, but there's just so many top players who are on top of their games above him. So he's got to shoot lights out for the next 3 days and hope that all those other studs don't play well all at the same time. And frankly, the odds of that happening are pretty slim.
You tweeted out with Jordan Spieth at 3 under on the 15th, and then he ends up 1 over. What happened to him?
Yeah, it's weird with him, and I don't know if it's, you know how golfers are, man. You know, they're always constantly, they're always just delicate mentally and always trying to convince themselves that it's never as bad as it really was. And Jordan didn't seem all that worked up about it. And, that surprised me a little bit. I figured that he would be a little bit upset because he kind of let one get away. Said he hit two bad shots on that hole that he doubled right there on 16 and really kind of just let it flounder coming in. Again, he didn't seem all that worked up over it. I don't know if that's just sort of him telling himself that it wasn't as bad as it was or what. But with Jordan, you know, look, he won this just a year ago, and that doesn't seem that long away. But he just has not been putting that well. Missed a couple key putts today as well, too. So he's really going to have to read these greens and see them a little bit better over these next 3 days, which is kind of surprising, too, because a guy that's that good of a putter historically to be struggling is really kind of difficult to watch.
Finally, my fly my Phil flag, as you know. What was Phil like, especially coming in early, like he always likes to play in the Scottish Open? What do you think of Phil?
You know, yeah, he always plays the week before, and I, you know, I like him. I figured, you know, I'd see him maybe contend a little bit this week, but, you know, I don't know. He just never really got any momentum. I was out there and walked a few holes with him early and just didn't really find the fairways. I think he only hit half the fairways in the day, you know, and took a lot of putts, too. So it was just one of those things where there was never really any real momentum. You know, he'd make a birdie and then throw it back with a bogey on the next hole. And so it was just one of those days where it was just kind of like a blah, Phil, two over round where it was just really nothing special. And again, at two over, I'm not sure he shot himself out, but again, there's just so many studs in front of him that, you know, he needs a real solid round in round two to get into the weekend. And then you never know, but it's just kind of just a so-so mediocre day for Phil.
Finally, Jay, you cover the sport internationally, but obviously a lot of your work here in the United States. You're over at Carnoustie. When Tiger ends up shooting even and he beats Jordan Spieth and, you know, Lee Westwood and Tommy Fleetwood, and we just talked about Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka, there's a lot of guys who are behind Tiger Woods. What's the media coverage like locally there where Tiger seems to suck up all the oxygen here in the States?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was just talking about that with some buddies about 2 or 3 hours ago. And, you know, I think there's a, you know, with the British press, you know, and I'm friends with all the British press because from coming over here all the years, I think they, you know, I think that Tiger sort of sucks the life out of a tournament. And then, sure, he does. But you know what? There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on that first tee when Tiger teed off. There were thousands out there walking every single step of the way. There were kids, women, men, children, old, young, you name it, all yelling Tiger Woods' names for about 5 straight hours. So you can, yes, it's bigger in the U.S., but over here, I'm telling you, it's a huge, huge deal. It's a huge deal. He played with Russell Knox today, who's a kid who grew up here in Scotland. The guy could hardly breathe on the first tee because it was the first time he was ever playing a major in Scotland, and he was playing with Tiger Woods for the first time, who was a guy he idolized. He could hardly take the club back on the first tee. So Tiger's playing partners are in awe of him. The entire country's in awe of him. It doesn't matter. I've been to Dubai with him. I've been to Turkey. I've been to Australia, Ireland, Scotland, England, the United States. Everybody loves Tiger Woods. And if they tell you they don't, they're lying.
It's easy to get your drink on over there. I know it's very, very late, and I appreciate you staying up with us. But have you dialed in your food items after being over there so many times? Is food difficult, or can you get an American meal that you like?
Well, yeah, look, man, I don't want to be called an ugly American, as I have been a couple times. The stuff's a little bit more bland. You know, coming over here for as many years as I have, they actually do Italian pretty well, so you can get a lasagna or a spaghetti. You try to avoid hamburgers, and I can always do fish and chips and a beer. I can get that down, no problem.
Thank you so much, Jay. Really appreciate you doing this for us.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Jay Goffin joining us from Golf Channel. Appreciate that. That is really cool. I'm happy we're able to do that, to get him live from Carnoustie. We'll replay that later on tonight, probably in the 7 o'clock hour for those who missed it later on in the show. But he really good information. And for this is a golf town. You know, people always ask me, what is Vegas like as a sports town? I say golf. People come here from all over the world to golf. Shadow Creek, Southern Highlands, Spanish Trails. You can go anywhere out to Anthem. Have all this unbelievable golf. TPC Summerlin, TPC Canyons. You can golf here in Vegas, right? We think of Floyd in boxing and UFC. Now the Raiders and the Golden Knights. No, golf. And if you're driving around listening to this show at your golf clubs in your car, and you're playing 9 holes or 18 holes over the last month, you need to be dialing this show during the majors and have an opinion at 876-1340. Are you optimistic of Tiger Woods shooting even par, or are you burying him? If you got the balls to bury Tiger on a Thursday, do it. That's the essence of sports radio. That's what we do. We point fingers. But I'd like to see Tiger win. And Tom Watson was on the 18th fairway with an 8-iron, I believe, to win the British Open at 59 years old. And he went over the green and had a bogey and ended up losing. You don't think Tiger at 40, 41 is going to win another major at the British when Tom Watson had the lead at 59? Tiger can play these courses blindfolded. He knows how to chip. He knows how to flop. He knows how to get it out of the bunkers. He knows where to put his driver away. So for those who say Tiger will never win again, are you nuts? You just keep sending him out to the British Open and make sure he's healthy, because I don't think he can win at the U.S. Open again. It's too difficult. They play the U.S. Open. They trick it out. They make it difficult. The Masters, they're making it longer, but Tiger's really good there when he's locked in. And the PGA, it depends on how difficult the course is. But I could sit here and put my golf hack reputation on the line and tell you that Tiger Woods will win another major, and the best odds will be the Open Championship. I just wish he would have shot 2-under today. 71's really good, but there's a lot of good golfers there in front of him. The Henderson Hyundai Superstore, where I spent yesterday, right in the lot, they have a Vegas Golden Knights car, the paint scheme, the whole deal. The value is there. The staff, they sold more Hyundais in the Valley than anyone by far over the years. Family run, no gimmicks, unbelievable financing opportunities. They'll get you in a vehicle. The Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Highway, out there in Henderson. Walter Pasacrita at the bottom of the hour, another Spurs insider on the reaction of Kawhi leaving and going to Toronto. And Carmelo Anthony traded today. We'll get into that. Traded to Atlanta, but he won't play for them. They waived him, and now Carmelo is set to join the Houston Rockets. I'm a Carmelo fan. But coming up next, to take a knee or to stand for the national anthem. You know where I stand.
There's a lot of things that need to change. One specifically is police brutality. There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable. Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right by anyone's standards.
Well, that's what started it all with Colin Kaepernick. And I bring that up because Colin Kaepernick started this, rightfully so or wrongfully so, wherever you stand on this. And I've debated this topic as much as anybody I know on sports talk radio. And again, I am not ready to end my career on a hill for Colin Kaepernick. So I'm going to do that on my own. And when I look at Colin Kaepernick, I believe that you should stand during the national anthem. I stand during the national anthem. I actually sing during the national anthem. I'm pro-military, I'm pro-police, and I'm pro-anthem. Now, do police make mistakes? Often, yes. Should they be held accountable by the law? Absolutely. Do we have police brutality? Definitely. Do we have alleged police brutality when the cops are going after a criminal who is trying to hurt people and they take them down? That's not police brutality. That's alleged police brutality. It's debated. But there are definitely issues of police brutality, and I cover it often on the radio show because it's now kind of leaked into sports talk radio, where we have issues now that are very important to athletes. And I say African-American athletes who believe that their voice is not being heard. And I agree with many of them. At times, their voice are not being heard at the level that they would like to turn up the volume on. So this is not going to go away. And from time to time, I don't do this and bring this up. I wasn't planning last night with Bobby to do an anthem show today, until the news came the last 2 days, first with the Titans, Jarrell Casey, who made news a little while ago by saying that he will take the fine because the league has now come down, Roger Goodell and the league, and they didn't collectively bargain this with the players. The league came up with this and said that they would like you to stand or there'll be repercussions. Also, they gave players the option to stay in the locker room.
I'm going to take a fine this year. Why not? I'm going to protest during the flag. That's what I'm going to say now. I'm going to take my fine. So it is what it is. I ain't going to let them stop me doing what I want to do. And if they want to have these battles between players and organization, it's what it's going to be.
All right. So I respect his opinion. Do you? 876-1340. Again, I throw out the number to get people's opinion on the anthem. It's pretty basic. Do you respect a player, forget color, having the ability to stay in the locker room or to take a knee and pay a fine? And Casey went on to talk about this. He doesn't think it's about the anthem. A lot of players are saying this.
Because it's not necessarily about the anthem. That's where everybody's messing up at. It's not about the anthem. We're just using that time to use it for our platform. If everybody can understand where we come from, about the injustice in America, the way that the justice system treats minorities is the issue that we have. And until they can understand that, and for an organization, you know, for 95% of your team to be minorities, and you can't understand where we come from, it's pretty mind-shocking to me.
Okay, so let's say we agree with that or you disagree with that. When does it stop? That's the key to this whole argument to me. Are you going to take a knee for the next 10 years, or are you going to take a knee for one game or two games to prove your point? Bring awareness to social injustice and then stand again. That's what is confusing everybody on this topic. Because a lot of players don't have a problem. They want to stop police brutality. They want to make sure that the world is peaceful. But they decide to stand. Because they believe it's important to their brand, to their team philosophy. Are we forgetting that football is a team sport? If you have a divided locker room and a divided sideline, that could have an effect on your team. So the breaking news today, if you haven't heard it, the Dolphins are the first team to come down with punishment, including suspensions up to four games for any player who takes a knee during the national anthem. Now, this is tough for the Dolphins because this could encourage players to do this. When you put this in a player's face and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell you what you can't do. There are going to be some proud players on the Dolphins saying, hey, I don't care about your proper anthem conduct. You're challenging my manhood. You're challenging my beliefs. I'm going to go against it. But the Dolphins said a player could be suspended up to four games under the policy. We'll see where it goes from here. But again, this topic will not go away. Where do you stand with this? And should teams, I think there's going to be backlash, and not bad backlash, but you're going to know the players who don't come out of the locker room. You're going to know the guys who don't want to take a knee because they don't want the fine, but they're back in the locker room because they believe that that's their right, which it is, and they don't have to come out. But I think in the stadium, people are going to say, oh, where was Marshawn Lynch? Where was that player? Did you see the Dolphins? Who stayed in the locker room for the 49ers? And that'll be picked up quickly because you'll be able to see those players as they walk out of the locker room. And what type of response will they get from the fans if two players, after the anthem, all of a sudden walk out the long tunnel and come out onto the field? You think they're going to get a standing ovation? No, they're going to get booed off the field because the mass majority, not the majority, the mass majority in the stadium support the anthem. Support the anthem. That's it. I'm on the sidelines for these games. Every time I go to a Raider game, there's military, there's a flag, there's an anthem, and everybody seems to get along. But these are different times that we're living in. So now they're calling it, quote, the proper anthem conduct code. And that would be to stand during the anthem. And if you have the out to get off the field, you can get off the field. But the Dolphins are the first team to clearly say that we'll fine and we'll suspend. What happens if your starting cornerback gets suspended for four games because of the anthem? Do you know what a firestorm will be around this league if two New England Patriots on a Super Bowl contending team are getting suspended? If the Patriots go down that road, which I'm not saying they will, the Dolphins were the team to go first. And I just wish as a country we can get past this, but who am I to say that? I'm just a white guy behind a microphone. My opinion does count on this issue, but it doesn't count as much as an African-American football player who is deeply affected on this topic. I care about these issues, but it hasn't affected me the way it has affected some of the African-American football players and in their communities. So I respect everyone's ability to protest, But I don't protest here in the studio when I come to work. I don't come into my place of employment and protest. There are plenty of places to protest outside of work, which they would encourage me to do, but I choose not to do it at work. We're still at that point where people are confused, rightfully so, on this topic. And Roger Goodell's got a big problem here because these games on Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, fans still want to know what's happening. 876-1340 is the number as we continue on. Walter Pasikridis is going to join us coming up next. He's a sports talk host in San Antonio. Knows Kawhi Leonard. Knows exactly what's happening with the scenario down there. We'll get the reaction of Kawhi. Did he get kicked out of San Antonio and sent to Siberia of the NBA? Or were the Spurs kind enough to send him to a pretty good contender in the Eastern Conference? Kawhi in the summer of LeBron. We'll get into that next. Send me a tweet at JT the Brick. This is Fox.
You know, we hope that this will be a good situation for everybody involved. Kawhi obviously worked very hard to become the player he is. Our staff worked very hard to help him get there. We wish him all the best as he moves on to Toronto.
That's interesting. Greg Popovich and taking the high road. Remember, he should take the high road. He'll be here in Vegas with the men's national team, the Olympic team. And why wouldn't Kawhi at 100% play on that team? Don't you want Kawhi Leonard, the best defensive player in the world, the number one defender in the world, to play on the U.S. men's national team? But was there a rift with Greg Popovich? We'll get to that with Walter Pasikridis coming up here in a moment on Fox Sports Radio. A lot of baseball will set up the lineup. Joe Morgan, by the way, the Hall of Fame second baseman from the Big Red Machine. Joe Morgan joining us tonight at 5:30. Thrilled to connect with him again. Andre, thanks for holding. You're on Fox Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hello. I want to talk from a actual black law enforcement officer point of view on the protest.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that I'm in favor of it because it is uncomfortable and protests are meant to be uncomfortable. I know a lot of people speak about protesting in a different environment, but this is an environment that grants the most attention. But I have a question. I wanted to know regarding the Miami Dolphins policy.
Mm-hmm.
What if every black player on that team decided to take a knee or protest? Would they suspend every black player on the team for four games?
No, they wouldn't do that because they wouldn't be able to field the team. I don't believe so, officer, and thank you for your service. I appreciate that. They'd have to act accordingly. And they said they could suspend them up to four games, according to the Associated Press. So this isn't a guarantee. It could be two games, but it's up to four games. They wouldn't wipe out the entire roster and not be able to field the team. So, but that's a fair question to ask, considering we don't know what's going to happen here. I don't think it's going to get to that point. My friend Walter Pasikridis joins us, great sports talk host in San Antonio on Ticket 760, and my go-to guy also with Kawhi and fan reaction. And Walter, from covering all the championships you have had in the building up close, how tough is it for the fans to say goodbye to Kawhi?
Oh, it's very easy now. They wanted to drive him to the airport, JT. They want him out of here as soon as possible.
How could that happen? I mean, we hear about the uncle, the gossip of his uncle, not coming back from the injury at the time requirement that the Spurs thought was a fair time to come back from this. But overall, you got ears on the ground there. You know people there. Where did this go awry? What to you was the big mistake that we all should have saw coming?
I don't know. You know, it's hard to pinpoint one thing, you know. Kawhi's camp, at least, and Uncle Dennis is part of that whole thing. There may have been a misdiagnosis, diagnosis of his injury to start with, way back in the summertime. Then there was the comments from Manu and from Tony and from Coach Pop, where I at least in my opinion, they let their frustrations go public, which is not something the Spurs normally do. That clearly hurt Kawhi's feelings and Kawhi's camp's feelings, and for some reason, they could never get back to a point where Kawhi could be a member of this team, and he just felt alienated from the locker room for whatever reason. And he certainly didn't, you know, he wasn't a part of this team for most of the season. He wasn't on the bench during the playoffs. You know, and Pop obviously at least it took the high road yesterday, saying that, listen, he conducted himself wonderfully while he was here. But, you know, and he also called the criticism of Kawhi yesterday being a bad teammate ridiculous. I completely disagree with that. I mean, the guy wasn't on the bench. He was in New York rehabbing, supposedly. I mean, he needed to be on the bench with his teammates, and he wasn't. So I disagree with Coach Pop there.
Walter Passacrit is our guest in San Antonio. What I find interesting here, too, you mentioned his uncle. He doesn't talk. I had Don Harris on the show the other night, and he said he just doesn't speak. He doesn't talk to people. So have you ever seen anything like this? Because the Spurs have had gentlemen, from David Robinson to Tim Duncan, quiet guys in Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. Could he be the quietest of all the Spurs and a guy who doesn't give us a peep of information to get mad at? And now he's kind of like public enemy number one. Nobody saw this coming.
JT, he was the perfect Spur in a perfect city. This made so much sense. I mean, here's, you know, obviously we know the franchise protects their players from the media. You know, they talk to the media when they allow us to get with them. And Kawhi was no different. And the multiple times that I talked to Kawhi Leonard, maybe it was a minute and a half, and he never had much to say. You know, it was, you know, a couple of words, sentence. That's really all you got out of him. But, you know, he seemed like to be that perfect Spur. He fit in with David Robinson and Tim Duncan, those guys that didn't want to be, you know, in the spotlight. Unlike Tim Duncan, though, who has a great personality and would have fun with you, Kawhi Leonard was never that guy. He was always very serious, very sullen, and never had really much to say.
Walter Passacrit is our guest. We're covering the Spurs and the transition of Kawhi Leonard. Now to Toronto, DeMar DeRozan comes in return. He went on social media. He wasn't happy about the loyalty. I laughed because he's getting $27.7 million for the next 3 years. He's one of the highest paid players in all of basketball, going to a stable franchise there. Do you think DeRozan will fit in, or will Pop take a look at him after 1 year and try to release that salary and then go into free agency even stronger?
No, I think DeRozan is another perfect fit here for San Antonio, and you know, and I could see where DeRozan was unhappy because he actually wanted to play in Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, Toronto doesn't have their pick of the litter when it comes to free agents. You know, they don't have, everybody doesn't want to go to Toronto and play NBA basketball. So they had a perfect guy there in DeRozan that actually wanted to stay there and wanted to be the face of the franchise. And then as they told him during the season, hey, listen, we have no plans to trade you. And then they turn around and deal him. So I understand why he was, you know, upset with being traded. But it'll be interesting to see how he fits in with the team on the floor. You know, will he get the same amount of attempts that he did with Toronto? You know, this is a team now with the Spurs that relies heavily on LaMarcus Aldridge getting the majority of the shots. And you think about it, Patty Mills was the second leading shot maker on this team. You know, is DeRozan going to get the 17 attempts that he got this past season with Toronto with the Spurs? That'll be very interesting to see if that happens.
Wrapping it up with Walter Passacrita. Walter, you and I have been there for a few of the Spurs championships, and you've been there for all of them. And what blows me away is, did we miss something back then? Were the Spurs a super team, but we didn't give them that title? Because now everybody's super team, Warriors. The Lakers are trying to build a super team. Looking back at that Spurs roster over the David Robinson Duncan transition to having the core players they had, you sprinkle in a Sean Elliott, Avery Johnson, on top of Manu, Parker, and Duncan, sure looks like a super team to me back in the day.
And then you throw in the Hall of Fame coach and Greg Popovich.
Right.
Absolutely. I had that discussion with the fans about a week ago. I said, this, you know, and they didn't like the idea of super teams getting together. I said, wait a minute. San Antonio, we've had our own super team. And as you mentioned, JT, with Timmy and Manu and Tony and Greg Popovich, and you throw in the extra guys there on the side. This has been a super team. Listen, this is the best franchise in sports. I don't think there's any question about it. Over at least during the Pop era, it has been, and we'll see if it continues now.
Finally, it's interesting when Kawhi comes back. You think they boo him?
you know, this is a fan base that never boos anyone.
Yeah.
Occasionally with Kobe Bryant, but it never really got, you know, really loud or personal or anything like that. I think this will be the first time, and it'll be a very interesting game when Kawhi Leonard comes here. And, of course, most of the Spurs fans are thinking that Kawhi Leonard's tendon will act up on that particular night, and he won't play.
Thank you, Walter. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, JT. Appreciate the time, sir.
You got it. There he is, Walter Pasacrita, a guy who connects with fans as good as anybody down there. It's really cool. If you haven't been to San Antonio, if you have, you know what I'm talking about. But when you go there, you get that. You get off the airport. You get to the Southwest Terminal there. Has a bar. And it was George Gervin's bar, the Iceman. So he has his MVP trophy there, his jersey. It's really cool. And then it's hot, and it's sticky, and it's humid, and it's muggy, and it's San Antonio. But then when you get out, and you get to the Riverwalk downtown area, and that's where the Alamo Dome is. It's down close to there. They moved the AT&T Center, I think about 15, 20 minutes outside the city. But everybody on game night, it's almost like a soccer city in Europe. On game night, this is all they have. They don't have a baseball team. They don't have an NFL team, a lot of Cowboy fans. They don't have a marquee team other than the Spurs. So the city shuts down. All the bars open. And, man, that city loves their team, and they are diehard. Now, Walter said the best franchise in sports of the pop era. I would disagree. I think that's the Patriots. I think the Patriots have proven with their 5 Super Bowls, their 8 trips, everything that Brady's done. I think you look at the best-run franchises over 20 years, you got to get Bob Kraft, Belichick, and Brady 1. But right there at number 2 has got to be the Spurs. And remember, it would be the Lakers – because the Lakers won a bunch with Shaq and Kobe without Shaq. But there was a transition when Dr. Buss passed away. And then the Lakers ran Jimmy Buss out. Genie took control of the team. So the franchise, now they brought in Magic and Rob Pelinka. They're trying to stabilize again. And I can't believe I'm sitting here living up there in the Bay Area that the Warriors, a team that nobody ever looked at, talked about, they had a 40-year drought, are considered currently, tonight, the best-run current team in sports. And why is that? Because their players get along with the owner and the coach and the entire staff. How often does that happen in sports? I mean, there's divisiveness in some organizations. There's divisiveness between players and ownership. Right now, nothing in the Bay Area. Kevin Durant, yeah, I'll resign. Steph, yeah, I'll resign. And next summer will be the key. Will Klay Thompson look at another offer? Because he's the key. I don't think they win. They don't win one or two of their championships without him. When they were losing 3-2 in Oklahoma City and he brought him back, that was a championship they would have lost. So Klay Thompson's going to become an available free agent. And there's going to be 6 or 7 teams trying to lure him away. And then it's going to be Draymond Green. And I think Draymond will be the first to go because I think Draymond, after, you know, 5 rings or 4 rings, will say, I want to get some money. I got 4 or 5 rings. I'm pretty good. Let me go get paid. And that's the only chance to stop the Warriors. You got to hope that some of their free agents leave, because if they keep signing them and then they start signing players like Boogie Cousins for 40 cents on the dollar, then they're just going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Baseball is back. St. Louis 2, the Cubs nothing. 1 game. Baseball is back from the All-Star break. When we come back, we'll take a look at that Manny Machado move and what it does for the Dodgers. I think it lifts the Dodgers to the World Series. If they didn't get Machado, I don't think the Dodgers are in the World Series. With Machado, I've been wrong before, but I think that's the move that gets them through the National League. Wouldn't have got them through the American League, but gets them through the National League. We'll touch on that. Thanks to PTs. That happy hour starts in 15 minutes from 5 to 7. Don't miss out.
Talked to Draymond, talked to KD, I talked to Steph, and they were like, hell yeah, let's do it. You know, this was my ace of spades. This was my nuclear bomb. So my last resort.
I'm a warrior.
DeMarcus Cousins in the Bay Area, and he's up there. You heard coming out of break, Steph McKenzie brought us back with the Raider Nation. lead-in, and a lot of people have been tweeting and asking me my opinions on the broadcast team, Brett Musburger now and Greg Papa out. Greg Papa will address this, I think, next week. He's been on vacation. He's been the voice of the Raiders. He's a dear, dear, dear friend of mine. We go back a long, long way. We're tied to my mentor. There's a big backstory, and I think the world of Greg Papa. I think he's one of the best play-by-play voices I've ever heard in my life, and he's my friend, but he's been on vacation as this change has been discussed and made, and Greg's going to talk on his show on Monday, and then we'll get some reaction after that on Monday. I'll be up in Napa on Thursday, Friday next week as John Gruden kicks off his first camp back as the head coach of the Silver and Black. And there's been a lot of change with the Raiders, a ton of change with the Raiders here over the last couple of weeks, let alone the last couple of months, as we are now transitioning into the John Gruden era that will be in Oakland, hopefully for two more years. A lot of people ask me, would you like to see the Raiders come here now? No. I want Oakland. Oakland deserves the Raiders. They're the Oakland Raiders, and they deserve to win. And I thought they were a Super Bowl contender with Jack Del Rio until they struggled and took a step back. So John Gruden is now brought in to fix it and get them up and running, so hopefully they can win in Oakland and be peaking when they come here to Vegas as the Las Vegas Raiders. But those Oakland fans really have a lot to say here the next 2 years, and we should defer to the Oakland Raider fans. They deserve that. One more comment on the Kawhi Leonard story, which has been a really big story here for the last week or so, and now he was shipped off to Toronto. Michael Lee, the great NBA insider from Yahoo, joined me last night, and he agreed with me that the Spurs actually won the trade.
I sort of agree with you that the Spurs won and that they actually have a known commodity. We don't know what Kawhi Leonard is right now. We haven't seen him play in over a year, and we don't know where his head is. We don't know if he's actually focused on playing for the Raptors, if he's excited about it. We don't know his approach to anything right now because all we get is leaks from his agent or his uncle or whoever else is handling him right now, and he's lost complete control of the narrative. I think we know what we think Kawhi Leonard is. We know what we think he could be. We know what we hope he is, but we won't know until we actually see him on the floor. Is his leg actually healed? This mysterious injury that kept him out for 73 games last year, is that fully healed? Is it going to come back? Whatever distractions that he has in terms of wanting to play in L.A., is that going to be a factor? There are so many things that we don't know that only Kawhi can explain to us, not his uncle or anybody else. And until we actually see him on the floor, I guess you have to say the Spurs won because they actually have a player that you know is going to produce when he gets on the floor. Right now, we don't know if Kawhi is even going to give the Raptors what we think he can give them.
So that'll be interesting. I thought he nailed it. We don't know what Kawhi Leonard is going to give the Raptors coming up, but we should know in Vegas. He should be here. If he's 100% healthy, he should be playing with Greg Popovich in the starting five. I think that's a really important point that we can tie into Vegas on every player. You know, we look at the NBA and we say first-team All-Star, second-team All-Star. In the U.S. men's national team, you know, some guys don't want to play in the Olympics, but everybody should be at the training. Everybody should show up to say, I'm participating to help my country, and then if you don't need me or if I could have the time off, I won't play. Kawhi Leonard's in the absolute prime of his career. He's the best defender in the world. He played for Greg Popovich. So if I was going to put together a starting five for the Olympics, it would be James Harden, obviously, Anthony Davis. It would be Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard. Am I wrong? I mean, how could you have anybody else other than that? I'd have the last two MVPs and Russell Westbrook and James Harden. I'd have Kawhi because he's the best defender in the world. I'd have LeBron because he's the best player in the world. And then I'd have the best talented big man in Anthony Davis. Who's going to beat that team? And all of them should be required to put on the USA jersey and train in Las Vegas with Greg Popovich. And then all wave goodbye and say, hey, Pop, I'm not playing. I just came here to help you out so we could talk about the team and the country. You put your country first. And that is Carmelo. I think Carmelo Anthony, that's going to be his legacy. Carmelo's not going to win a championship, but his legacy is going to be that he's got a couple of gold medals and an NCAA tournament championship with Syracuse. Not bad. It's a pretty good legacy. Tim Tebow's got a Heisman and two national championships. I could care less if he plays Major League Baseball. It's a pretty good legacy to have. Thanks to Bobby, who put the show together. Thanks to our guest, Jay Coffin, who joined us live from Carnoustie at the British Open. or excuse me, the Open. And Walter Pasikridis, who checked in from San Antonio on Kawhi Leonard. Really enjoyed this week so far. Big show to wrap it up. Coming up, we'll talk to the GM of the Dodgers, Farhan Zaid, Joe Morgan, Baseball Hall of Famer, and Antonio Daniels, a great basketball analyst now with OKC. Big show lined up with Looney right here at the top of the hour. You're listening to Fox.